Thank you, Elijah, for handling, ministering this morning under the anointing. Boy, it's good to have that in the church. Amen. You know, I was thinking about you the other day, and I was thinking, you know, a lot of people, not a lot of people, but being used by God and being under the anointing, sometimes it's got a way to satisfy us. Some people, but then other people, it causes and creates more of a hunger for doctrine and understanding and spiritual insight. And that's what I see in you. I mean, you don't just, you know, say what you got from the last devotion, but there is really a spirit of hunger and study and wanting to know and explain truth. And I think that is an awesome willingness. Amen. I can't say a gift, because I don't think it'd be fair if God gave a gift to, well, I don't think it'd be right theology-wise that God gave a gift to study Scripture when He's commanded us to do it anyway. Amen. Like, that's an excuse, like, well, God didn't give me that gift. Or sometimes they say, I don't feel led to do something the Bible already told you about. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get a piece of lead, put it in my desk, and then when somebody says that to me, I'm going to say, here you go. Now you feel led, you know. And the Holy Spirit, I mean, it already says it. So, praise God. So if anybody's got a piece of lead, if you can still get it. Amen. Well, I mean, I chewed on. Never mind. When you're a baby, you know, you bit on those, were they lead-based? So I'm not afraid of lead is what I'm trying to say. Explain some things. Everything I said about you before, I was lying. So praise God. This thing, I'm not going to spend much time before you. I do feel like God's got me on and got us church on a course. We have been studying Acts, and we'll go back to that, you know, from time to time, because I feel like Acts is a good, obviously a good foundation for us to understand about the church that Jesus has called us to be. And I think that's an important distinction, because a lot of people are just churches, but I believe we want to be the church God has called us to be. He's called us to represent Him, and the way He's called us to represent Him, through reaching the community and doing what the first early church had done, and what was valuable to them should be valuable to us. Somebody say amen. Amen. So we know that prayer was absolutely essential, and boy, that's never not important. That's never not a cultural, the culture always needs a church that prays. Amen. Yeah, we always need a mom that prays. We always need a grandmother that prays. We always need praying people in our lives, because they're probably the reason we're here today. And so this morning, we know that was important to them, and we also know reaching out and practicing and exercising faith and James in faith. When I say James in faith, what I mean is faith without works is what? Yeah, that's right. So the Bible declares that if you have faith, you have works. It didn't say if you have works, you have faith. It says if you have faith, you have works. There's a difference, church. If I have faith, it will be revealed through my life. I'll do faith things. I won't have to do faith things in order to get faith or to prove that I believe. My works will prove that I believe. God moving through me and me demonstrating what He's done in my life and in your life is evidence that God did something real. Amen. We don't act and do and stay the same that we used to be prior to salvation. So we know the church in the book of Acts was their foundation. But I want to move, and we've been in the Lent season, so we are actually, this is the last week of Lent. Palm Sunday comes next week. So you'll come in here and you'll see a bunch of palm branches laying around, I think. You can get them, and sometimes you can't get them. So then I have to go to California and grab a whole bunch of them. Some might be there for a week. No, I'm just kidding. Matthew 26. Let's go to Matthew 26, 36 through 46. When you're there, let me know.
So here we go. It says this. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him the three main guys, Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." Everybody say watch. And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Praise God. He said, "I'd follow you anywhere, Jesus. I'll never let you down." And then he falls asleep at a crucial moment in Christ's life. And it's interesting that Christ didn't condemn him. He told him, "Look, so you know this, there's always going to be a battle when it comes to spiritual things and spiritual disciplines. Whenever you do and set out to do the right thing, the enemy is going to attack you. And the enemy is going to attack the flesh. And it's going to make it harder for you to do what's right," as we talked about just a moment ago. Church, you guys, we need to know that. The enemy is going to fight us and oppose us when we do the right thing. Sometimes we look at that and say, you know, maybe this isn't something I should be doing, especially when we're getting opposed by when we're doing a new thing or something that we're a little insecure about. We cannot determine, because it's uphill, that God hasn't called us to do it. Because you got to expect, and I got to expect, and we got to expect everything good will be opposed by the enemy. Somebody say amen. We have to have a resilience and a hunger and a strength that's hungrier than our flesh. I got a spiritual hunger that drives me and overcomes the things of my flesh. I don't want to stay the same. I don't want to keep doing what I'm doing. I don't want the same results in my life. I can't do it anymore. I will not do it anymore. And our spiritual hunger begins to pull past the cravings and the strength of the flesh.
Amen. Oh, praise God. In case you missed it, that was good preaching. Go a little farther, he fell on his face praying, saying, "My Father, be it possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not I will, but you will be done." He came to his disciples, found them sleeping. He said, "Watch and pray, you may not enter temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went away and he prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, well, then your will be done." And again, he came and found them sleeping. Wow. That's kind of a big rebuke the first time. And then the second time, they still were sleeping. For their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep. Take your rest. Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayal is at hand." Amen, amen. What the Holy Spirit has been speaking to me is the text of Scripture that tells us to watch and pray. I mean, that's a word for our culture today, and I believe that's a word for the church, and that's a word for many of us that are here today. I sense there's been a lull in the spirit in believers' lives. We've been looking at the same landscape for a long time. Perhaps we've been looking at the same drought, the same hole, the same destruction, the same famine. And we are getting to a place that we're becoming tired of that. And frustration and restlessness is moving in. I want to tell you, church, this is a call of God. And the reason why there's a restlessness in some of our lives is because God is calling us out of that season. He's calling us out of that thing. He doesn't want you to look at barrenness anymore. He wants you to move from this up and bring with you to the next stage or the next season all the things you've learned from this season. It was a bad season. but it was a season you learned, and it was a season you grew. How do I know that? Because you're still here. Somebody say amen. You're still showing up. You're still reading. You're still worshiping. You still, many of you still have your hands up in church. What does that tell me? That tells me that I'm still here, and I'm fighting, but I'm not giving up, and I know God's got something better for me, and I'm continuing on. That's what that tells me. So this morning, that's where many of us are at. I'm telling you, we are called now to this transitional stage, and this is important for us as a church. It's important for us as a people that the transitional stage asks us to do two things: watch and pray. This is the most important message to hear. Watch and pray. The next couple of weeks, I'm going to be sharing the church that's been asleep and the believer that's been asleep. I'm going to walk through some of the parables that Jesus had shared with the church and Jesus shared with the believers on his last week of life. His last 7 days of life, he shared a lot. Now, if you want to know when that is, it starts on the triumphant entry. It starts in Matthew 21. That's when his last week starts. We call it the Passion Week. And I want to share a lot that goes on this Passion Week. I know I'm going to be going into Easter. Obviously, I'll be speaking a message that God has given me for Easter. But for us, the church, those that are here today, God is going, he's speaking to me. He's trying, he's stirring the body and stirring the believers and stirring the leadership to wake up into a new understanding of what he's wanting to. Prepare yourself for something great. But you got to wake up. Many of us have been asleep. We've been lulled to sleep. I'm going to tell you how that happens. So let's go through, let me speak a little bit about Gethsemane and Jesus' day in Gethsemane. We talked a couple weeks ago about Gethsemane and what it meant. And those of you who weren't here, Gethsemane was a it means the oil, it means an olive press. It was a grove, an olive grove, and pressing of olives were done in that garden or in that, it's in the garden is really what it was. And they were pressed down, and so the olives were squeezed, and they were squeezed. They were in a burlap bag, and this big stone was rolled over them, and they kept squeezing it till all the juice and all the oil came out of the olive, because the most valuable part of the olive is its oil. It's what's inside of it. And we talked and discussed about how God says the same. Listen, Jesus said in John, he said that a seed must die. Then it's able to produce fruit. And so what does that mean? So we understood that a seed planted in the ground soaks up water, and because of the pressure, the enormous amount of pressure, the seed swells and swells until its capacity is pulled apart, and then what's in it begins to flow out of it, man. And God has placed us a lot of times in our life in positions like that, where we are being tested and we are being stretched. And God wants to bring us to our absolute breaking point of the flesh so we can understand and know and realize when the Spirit of God begins to take over. Amen. Just because you broke in the flesh doesn't mean you're done. That's now when God begins to move and do what you cannot do. Somebody say amen. Boy. But God wants to bring us to that place where we're able to realize it's his strength, not ours. Amen. And it takes a brokenness, man. It takes a brokenness in our flesh. Like, I can't. We realize our limitations. Now, that's not to say you don't go to and you don't commit and you don't do as much as you can do. But you do that with the understanding that God, you are dependent upon God. God has not called us to be lazy and slothful and go only halfway and only do the very minimal. He's called us, yes, to exercise every faculty that's inside of us, but to know that you will be limited, you will fall short, but God will take over where you are not able to. Amen. Now, every minister should know that. Every minister should know that it isn't their intellect. It isn't their studies. It isn't their time of reading and disciplines and their education that causes an effectiveness across the pulpit. But what it is, it's the fire and the anointing of God that begins to take what you have and make it effective. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Boy. I mean, Scripture tells us and gives us examples of that through Scripture. Moses just had a staff, but God said, a mighty staff in my hands. I'll do something with you. I'll do something. That staff is your, that's me. I'm going to put my power and my anointing within that staff. You offered it, I'm going to use it. The fish, what, a boy just had a basket, a couple of fish, man, that's nothing. That is not going to do the job. That's limited. But see, in the hands of God, God will take what's limited and make it unlimited. He will take what's natural and make it supernatural. He will take what's ordinary and make it extraordinary. Somebody say amen to that. We've got to give it to him. We've got to say, God, I'm willing, I'm ready. And not back away because we understand. That's, boy, what a lack of faith and what a slap in the face of God when we relinquish and when we back away from an opportunity that God has given us because we believe we're unable to do it. I'm amazed by that from some believers. Yeah, they've been praying for what? God, what is it you called me to do? What's my calling? What's my purpose? God, show me. And then God opens the door. And they say, nah, I can't do that. What's wrong with you? You've been praying for God to show you and open a door, and a door opens and you decline. That is a missed opportunity where God was beginning to establish your gifting and ministry. And when we refuse that, I just don't get it, man. I don't get it. Man, and you can ask, I'm not saying, oh, I got it figured out, because I don't. But I will tell you, and there's here that can testify. We were called to Goodland. What was it? How many times? Where's Stuart Moore, my family? Goodland, Kansas, and some other places that had a church of like four people. Memorial weekend. Always. It seemed like when I was preaching, always Memorial weekend, a pastor would call me and say, hey, can you preach for me? I'm like, ah, I like going to the lake. Is it? That's how it happened. 200 miles. When the door opened, you know why I took it? Because I knew my prayer. I knew I prayed to God that he would show me what he's called me to. And when a door opened, I literally felt as though it was sin to resist it. I mean, when there's an opportunity to minister, especially when we've been lining our prayers up with that, and we resist that, somebody's got to explain to me why. There are funerals that I'll do that I don't want to do. I don't want to do them, man. I'm busy. I got things to do. It's going to put me back. It's going to set me back. But the Holy Spirit, I have to acknowledge the Holy Spirit in my life, and I have to wait on God before I'm able to answer that. Because I don't want to do it. If it's up to me, it's like, nope. Who wants to do a funeral? Like, what sick person wants to do a funeral, right? In the flesh. But in the Spirit, comfort, in the ministry of refreshing others, and an opportunity for people that are hearing you experience, for them to experience the presence of peace in a time of turmoil is priceless. The goodness of God bringeth repentance. The peace of God pulls people closer to him. And so when there's opportunities in my life to do those things, and I challenge you as well, man, take them. What if that ain't for me? You'll know. But God doesn't care about the bottom. He don't care about the tangibles. He wants your willingness. Abraham, offer me Isaac. I don't want to do that. Like, what? Huh? You know? Is there a second opinion? You ever heard that story of a guy who was hanging out the window? And he's like, stuck. You know, 10 floors up. God help! God help! And all of a sudden a voice goes, I want to help you. Who is that? It's me, it's God. Okay, help me. You gonna help me? What do you want me to do? Let go. Help! Is there anybody else out there? Sometimes that's how we feel. When God speaks to us, we don't want it. Listen, Abraham probably didn't want to do it, but I want to tell you something. Abraham didn't want to do it, but God wasn't after. Listen, God wanted to test his willingness. Now, did God know what's in him? Absolutely. But there's something that happens when we begin to agree and obey God when we don't want to. I believe there is riches, a spiritual richness that begins to develop in your life. And you become a mature believer and you become stronger in faith because you've learned through submission to do the right thing when it's hard. Now I'm talking about this morning. Jesus, the response, the flesh is weak, but the spirit, the flesh is strong, but the spirit is weak. You know what I mean? So the spirit is strong, but the flesh is weak. The weakness of the flesh.
So sometimes we got to do what we don't want to do, but we know it's the right thing to do. When there's opportunities that speak to us, we have to take them. So this morning, we're going to be heading into Gethsemane just for a moment longer. So here was Jesus in Gethsemane in a press. I lost my train of thought. So the press was, he smashed down, what's in us comes out. And so God puts us under pressure, so we do that. Now, I don't have time to tell you and to show you every place in Scripture where that is true, where God tests his people, where God tests Moses, where God tests Isaac and Abraham. Those things, I just want you to understand that that's a true thing. And that sounds terrible because James begins to contradict it. For God cannot tempt anybody. When you're going through trials, don't say it's God, because God cannot tempt with evil. I want to tell you something, that's true. But when God tests you and he pulls out what's inside of you, that's not evil. Somebody say amen. That's establishing and growing and giving you a spiritual endurance that you're going to need. Somebody say amen. Boy, especially today, because it's not going to get better. Mm-mm. I know that sounds pessimistic, but we are living in perilous times, and they're just going to get more perilous. Now, there's a lot of hope in that, and I'm going to share that with you in the coming weeks. Like, what do we have to look forward to as believers? But know this. First thing you need to know about Gethsemane, God is going to test you, and what's in you is going to come out of you. Good. You say, Pastor, what if what's in me comes out and I don't like it, and neither does God? Good. That's how we change. Someone say amen. That's how we ask God. That's how we repent. I mean, sin that we don't repent of is sin we don't change. David was so brave and courageous to say, Holy Spirit, search me and see if there be any wicked way. That's a man of God right there. He ain't got to search me right now. Some of us, he didn't have to search. I know him, you know. David would say, I'm at a point in my life where I don't even know what's, my heart feels and seems, and I'm not aware of any willful sin inside of me. So he says, Holy Spirit, search me and see if there be any wicked way in me. Boy, to say that should be what we are desire. God, the stupid things that I'm wrestling with, that I go back to doing, the things that I say, the immature way that I pull back when I'm going through hard times, the immature way that I shut my communication off with you because I don't like what's going on in my life. God, I don't want to go to sleep anymore. I want to be at a place in my life where I'm willing. I want to be at a place in my life where I'm obeying. I want to be at a place in my life where I'm putting down what you've called me to put down, and so we can start making progress and start moving forward. Let me get off this sin and weight that does so easily beset me. That means hold me back. That means keep me captive. I can't move forward because I haven't let go of the things that I know I should be letting go of, and God has anointed me to let go of them. We just ain't doing it. We stay. 5 years from now, we say the same thing. God, I just don't know what I'm supposed to. I'm tired of this fight. I'm tired of this battle. I'm tired of being the same way. And God says, I am too, but you're not really tired of it. Because when you begin to get tired of it, you begin to change. And you begin to seek change and seek help. And you begin to make those hard decisions. You begin to do something different. Wow, somebody say amen. It took me a long time to learn to fast, man. Oh, I'd beat myself up too. I'd fast and break it. And I began to learn how to fast. I began to do that on more of a regular basis. And I want to tell you something. There was never a time when I hit the pulpit that I never not felt the anointing in those years. There was never a time I didn't lock into the Spirit. And that was precious and valuable to me. But it took me a while to learn how to resist food. I mean, well, are you spiritually hungry? Or are you hungry for brownies? 9 times out of 10, man, Betty Crocker won the deal. And me and my wife start communicating. Because my wife's like, look, because every time I fasted, I am not kidding. Every time, I didn't tell her, because I always felt Scripture said, don't tell anybody. So I'm like, I didn't tell my wife. I would be on the end of the block, and I'd smell brownies. And as I drove closer to my home, I would, brownies smell, man. When I was a kid, I had those friends that their moms would cook brownies. We'd be outside in the yard, and they would never give us any. Like, no, we never got offered. And maybe it was just me. They never offered any brownies to me. And I learned to grow hungry for and desire them. So when I see them now, I take them apart. But when I was fasting, my wife, and she'd tell you this, she would always fix, she didn't know. And I'd come in, and I'd be like, well, that's over. I didn't even fight it. I'm like, so I'll fast tomorrow. Many a times. What happened? When I walked away from there, I felt defeated. That's a small thing, but I felt it was a spiritual discipline that God was calling me to, and I was disobeying it. Listen, that's right now. We're going to close. Because God wants to show you and re-remind you of the things that he's called you right now to resist that you have not resisted. Listen, there's a relationship that God has called you to absolutely let go of, and you have committed to doing it, and you continually go back to that same cesspool of toxicity, and it robs you of your joy, it robs you of your strength, and it robs you of your spiritual connection with God. You want to see change in your life, and you want to see victory in your life, you've got to resist. And you've got to do it when it feels like the last thing you want to do, but you know it's the right thing. Somebody, you're battling with depression, and I've been there, church, I'm there often, I have to fight that. But you got to understand that there's a large part of depression is a willingness to accept it. Did you hear that? A willingness to accept it. That there are voices and whispers and visions and imaginations that you are called to cast down. But instead, we've embraced them. Because we're mad. Because we're tired of fighting. Because we've grown weary. And if you want to see that change, you've got to find a way to resist that. You say, Pastor, how? There are thousands of ways in the scriptures and research that can be done, spiritual research and scripture, how to counter the lies that we're believing. You just got to know the truth, because every time a dark spirit moves, he's going to bring a lie to your heart. And if you don't recognize the lie, you're going to eat it. And when you eat that, it's going to grow into a stronghold, bondage. It's going to leave you devastated. But if you head it off at the path, you know the lie. That's a lie! And you may not be able to go how to counter it, but you just know it's a lie. That's first. But that should motivate you to seek the scripture, seek the word of God, and fight the enemy the same way Jesus fought the enemy. Listen, he's not just going to lift it. Jesus had to fight the enemy. God could have just banished him and don't mess with my son Jesus, but he didn't. He allowed Jesus in the wilderness to fight the devil. Don't you know the scripture says that he was led into the wilderness by the Spirit of God to be tempted of the devil? What? And so God said, yeah, Jesus is going to come out stronger than when he went in. And he was, church, when he resisted and he took control and he allowed the word of God to anchor. He was anchored to the word of God and he used it to destroy the lies and the works of the enemy from getting inside and messing with the spirit and questioning who he was in Christ or to his father. He used the word. You will too. You expect to, we're not just going to fly through this. It's like you get bypassed somehow. You're going to switch. You're going to go walk around the wilderness. No. But the quicker we resist, the quicker we allow ourselves to resist and obey and counter, I believe, the quicker we get through. Some of us have been in the wilderness for too long. And it's not, you didn't have to be. You didn't have to be. It's time to begin to counter what the enemy's throwing at you, instead of just letting them give you and control you, everything. I mean, he's just been controlling some of us. Controlling our cravings, controlling our desires, controlling our relationships, controlling our moods. Stand to your feet with me, would you? Listen, church, we had a good service this morning. I want to tell you, it was great. It's great. The word of God that I feel like God planned, we're going to get to that. I do feel like this is the Holy Spirit is leading this moment for us right now. Gethsemane has to come, like it or not. It doesn't matter. You're going to be squeezed. You're going to be pressured. You're going to be put under. You're going to be tested. God wants you to know what's in you. Why ain't this changing? God says, I'm going to answer that question because I'm going to show you why it's not changing. Because you're not willing to obey. I know there's grace in the scriptures, but I want to tell you something. Christianity is not easy. Paul said, hey, look, I fought the good fight. Welcome to reality. The fight of faith. It exists. It's real. And you must withstand what the enemy throws at you. You're going to get it. You're going to get it. You want the enemy to leave you alone? let me tell you, the only time that happens is when you're in his will. And that only lasts for a little while. I was listening to a testimony of a demonic priest, and he got saved by God. He's talking about the time when he decided to, he didn't want to listen to the enemy. He would sit and talk, and I don't say this a glorified thing, but he would set up from 5 at night, and he'd go till 8 in the morning talking to the spirit. And this man was used in demonic ways, really demonic ways. He's now on the board of Dave Wilkerson's church. Dave Wilkerson used to be, it's a solid church. So he's not quirky. And he said, there was a season when I was a Satan worshiper, when I was obeying that spirit, that I disobeyed him. And he said, for 3 months, I was blind. He said, my sight, the enemy took my sight for 3 months. And that was one way that he came back to God later on. Because the sight came back, the spirit told him why. And before his conversion, one of the things that he got, one of the realities is like, he heard a Christian talk about when they failed God, they got on their face, they repented, God forgave them, and they moved forward, and they still prospered in the spirit. He said, you know what? I disobeyed my master, this demonic spirit. I disobeyed him, and he made me go blind for 3 months. And it was the goodness of God and the compassion of God and the grace of God that helped pull him out of that relationship. Why am I saying this? Because, listen, when the enemy will leave you alone for a while, but I want to tell you something. There comes a time. Well, he's gonna make do. He's gonna claim what he thinks belongs to him. You do. Today there's a testing, and there's a squeezing, and you don't like what you see coming out. God help us. Help me in my addiction. Help me in my depression. Help me in my lust. Help me in my greed. Help me to not yield to bitterness and anger. God, you're showing me these things and I'm repenting, but the next moment, next opportunity, I'm doing them again. I can't live like this anymore. And I thank you, God, for not letting me. I thank you, God, for waking me up more times than not and reminding me, look, the time is short. Get back to where you need to be. Just like you did with the disciples, man. 3 times is a lot. In 1 hour? But God, I see your grace and your long-suffering, your mercy in that. That you still want me to do what's right. That means I got a chance, God. That means you're still on my side. That means you're still going to help me as I begin to come to you and say, God, give me the wisdom and the strength and the strategy to break this bondage. Because I keep going back to it, and I don't like it. I don't like it. It's poison. It's nasty. It's defecting others. It's messy. So this morning, through the words of this minister, I'm going to commit to you. I'm going to commit to you to get back up. To bring those disobedient, those things to you, and to walk in obedience again and resist. And God, if I fail, I'm going to get back up. I'm going to come back to you, and I'm going to go back to the blueprint and say, where was it that I went wrong? I'm going to learn from this, and I'm going to fall again. Then I'm going to get back up, and I'm going to go and say, okay, God, I got a little farther this time. And I know that, God, you're going to break this. I know that God will break this. He might break it in one moment. You might have to wrestle. But are you willing to wrestle, church? So this morning, if that's a prayer for you for this week, and that's what you're going to commit to, just get back up and start resisting again. You know what the area is. You know what it is. You failed in it last week. You failed in it the week before. Okay, get back up. You know what it is. Let's recommit. Some of you addicted to pornography in here. Listen, get back up. Walk. Do it again. Not the pornography. Do it again. Stay obedient. Come on. Come on. I ain't going to go through everything that I sense the Holy Spirit's pressing on me, but you know what it is. Now, I believe with a represented, uplifted hand, that isn't so everybody knows, that isn't so I know, that's so you, in a declaration of faith, that God, I'm going to rise again, and I'm going to keep going, I'm going to keep committed, I'm going to keep confessing, and I'm going to grow. That's you this morning. Would you just lift your hand up? Hallelujah.
You commit that to God today. Amen, 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 amen. Boy, praise God. I hope. There's a lot of hands up here, and that's good. That's good, because there's not a lot of delusional people in this place that says, you know, I got everything I need just right. Father, you want to use this generation. You want to use this church for the city, but you want to change our heart first. You want the willingness of our heart. You want us to wage war against those things that have tripped us up and so many other people up. Because once we overcome this, you're going to give us a ministry and a testimony to help others. Father, we love you. Now, Holy Spirit, I pray that you just move and captivate your people and fill their hearts up, Jesus. Ooh, hallelujah. Thank you, this church. Thank you, the church, for letting me just speak to you for a moment. Next coming weeks, we're going to talk about waking up, and we're going to go through. Man, God has given me a great message, a great series of messages for this, and I believe we're going to come out of here wide-eyed and bushy-tailed. That's the title. That's the weirdest title, isn't it? God bless you. I love you. See you tonight.